You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
T.C. Boyle has made a career of creating fictional versions of uniquely American subcultures and closed communities, and his latest novel, The Terranauts, is no exception. It's set in 1994 in the Arizona desert in an experimental community called Ecosphere 2, or E2, which bears a strong resemblance to the real-life Biosphere 2, a sealed glass enclosure in which teams of scientists spent 2 years attempting to create an artificially controlled, sustainable environment. I spoke with Tom Boyle back in October, and we are replaying that interview for you today. Haven't environmental issues long been a central subject of your work?
I guess it's my obsession. You know, this is my 26th book. When you begin doing this, you don't really know what your themes and obsessions are, but more and more I'm beginning to see that. We talked probably years ago about Drop City in 2003, where we had the Back to the Earth movement of the hippies go to Alaska. So they went out. This is sort of the opposite end of that spectrum. Now I'm exploring a group of people who have gone to an artificial environment and all been enclosed together.
Was the story of a closed community centered on ecology and survival the perfect novel, the subject for you?
It's pretty good. I mean, no playwright would pass it by. And by the way, there were supposed to be 50 two-year closures. The whole thing in real life, the biosphere, went to crap after the 6 months into the second closure.
So how closely is your E2 modeled on Biosphere 2?
Lenny, this is just beautiful. So I could take the real history from all the newspaper articles and the books that the Biospherians had written and adduce that as Mission 1, and now I'm creating a fictional Mission 2. Very closely.
Did you interview any of the participants from the original Biosphere 2 or read accounts of their experiences or listen to air checks of my interviews with some of them at the time?
No,
I did a couple while they were in Biosphere.
Wow, I didn't know that. I wish I had known. But I haven't interviewed them. I don't know them. My job as an imaginative writer is to use my imagination. By the way, when we talked about Drop City, you know, I did go to Alaska for a month during the summer solstice, but I used my great powers of imagination to reproduce winter solstice rather than go up there and let my skinny body freeze.
Well, it seems to me that this is perfect subject matter for a novel because you put some people together in a closed environment and then all sorts of interesting things happen. Although, interestingly, the characters here, your three main characters, two of them wind up in the enclosed environment, but the third one is one who doesn't make it.
The thing that interested me most about this was how hard these people tried to be Terranauts, to be part of this cult and this group. So there were 16 candidates, as with NASA. They were aping NASA in the real history of this in their day. Only 8 were to be selected. So I chose to have 3 narrators, one woman who is one of the final 8 and a man who is one of the final 8. And then a woman who has been excluded but is promised that if she behaves herself and works on support staff, she'll be able to come in for the second closure.
She was a friend of the other woman, but now they become frenemies because exactly. There's a lot of competition involved.
Exactly. I mean, you and I are in these professions where no one is ever jealous of anyone else getting any attention, of course. So I really had the strain to come up with a kind of scenario in which people would be jealous of one another.
Let's go back to Biosphere 2. It was a 3-acre closed environment, and as you said, an 8-member team of scientists was locked in with all the tools and supplies to grow their own food and live independently, cut off from the rest of the world. What was the ultimate goal there?
You know, they criticize it as not being real science. Real science has a theory, and then you test the theory. There was no theory. It was but also privately funded. So it was a kind of, hey, kids, let's put on a show. Let's go in here with 3,800 species of plants and animals, create 5 biomes like the Ecosphere 1, which is outside, which we're in right now, and see what happens. And I really think that, looking back on it, it was quite legitimate.
Was the goal to think about what life might be like on Mars?
Of course.
Or was this just simply an entertainment thing?
No, I think it had a real purpose, and that was to see if this biosphere we live in should collapse and we should have to go elsewhere. How would it work out? You know, and also, Lenny, since you talked to these people all those years ago, the tremendous chutzpah of this thing, it was a mix-and-match world they created. They put in creatures that hadn't evolved together from all these different biomes around the world, whereas as an ecologist, I would think they would concentrate on one, but they didn't.
Is it even possible to have five different climates within such a small area? The biomes are a rainforest, a savanna, a desert, an ocean, and a marsh.
Yeah. Well, it was possible, and they did do it. Another thing that fascinates me about this, Lenny, is what if there had been 10 friendly billionaires and they built 10 of these things, let's say a mile apart, and it really did go for 100 years, 52-year closures? Each one of them would have evolved in a totally radically different way, and it would be like a time capsule to open them up.
My guess is T.C. Boyle, whose latest novel is The Terranauts. And in your story, the first attempt is compromised after just 12 days when a crew member falls ill and has to leave the dome for treatment. Didn't something like that happen in the biosphere?
In my telling, no one leaves. And I am adducing the first actual history of closure in which, within 12 days, one of the women cut off the tip of her finger in the rice hulling machine. Now, of course, one of the eight has to be a physician. He sewed it back on. Everything was fine. But then the finger began to turn the color of a blood sausage. And for 5 hours, she had to go to the hospital with a real hand surgeon to put it back together. And, you know, in some ways, Lenny, that blew it. It blew it for me as a fan of this. In 91, I was clipping out the articles thinking, I've got to write about this. But once they violated closure, the magic of it, the theatricality of it, kind of disappeared.
You begin your story as the participants for the second attempt are being chosen, the four men and four women. Mm-hmm. Was the idea that they would pair off during their 2 years inside, perhaps have children who would be born inside the closed ecosystem?
Well, you know, I don't think it'll be news to any of your avid listeners that we are animals, after all, and just another species enclosed in the biosphere. The original biospherians, two of them wrote books. They agreed that they would not reveal any sexual secrets. But, of course, I'm a fiction writer, and I didn't realize how sexy this would be. Four men, four women, locked inside for 2 years. What are they going to do in there?
Well, you also, as a fiction writer, could think of all the tensions that arise when any group of unrelated people are stuck together for a long time.
Yeah, well, that's why I chose the quote from Sartre's No Exit. L'enfer, c'est les autres. Is it true? It's a proposition. Is hell really other people? And by the way, I've just started doing the tour for this book, and I've been asked a few times, would you like to be enclosed for 2 years? And the answer is absolutely 100% no.
Yeah.
It'd be a nightmare for me. I want to be outside and stretch my legs.
That's because I hadn't met you before. I knew you when you were T. Karagason.
It's true. True enough. Incidentally, Lenny, I should announce that I am soon to be a grandfather of a young girl.
Oh, congratulations.
And, I am pressing that the child should be named Karagasina. What do you think?
Well, it'd be a problem at school.
Perhaps.
Is it just a coincidence that four blonde women are chosen while their brunette counterparts are rejected?
Well, the person who is rejected, Linda Ryu, is of Korean descent, and she is very bitter about this. She says, I don't want to play the race card, but in fact, that is what's happening. And I look back on the original biospherians. This was in 91, and they were exclusively white. And so there is a kind of element here that makes it very exclusionary. Who goes in and who stays out? And furthermore, if the environment does collapse, what happens to the rest of us, you know?
But it's interesting that they wanted to have the five biomes, but they wouldn't want to have the kind of diversity that we have on this planet. You would have imagined in the biosphere that they would have had some African Americans or people from Africa, for that matter, people from Asia,
exactly,
people from Europe,
exactly,
from all over.
But
there
that
are,
wasn't
are
what,
all those different continents.
That wasn't what they were thinking, and I think that's part of why I'm critical of it to a degree.
Your third narrator, Ramsey Ruthorpe, is the communications director and also something of a ladies' man. How does the prospect of 2 years locked up with just four women and three other men appeal to him?
The most fun I had, I think, was in the pre-closure part of the book. There's pre-closure, there's closure year one, closure year two, and then re-entry. And it was wonderful to see how all these characters would think about what's going to happen once they are enclosed. This is their dream. They're a cult. They're like NASA. They want to be on the spaceship. But once they're in there...
But you think NASA's a cult?
Well, I suppose so, yeah. And, you know, another great thing is NASA is still doing this. They just had a closure of 1 year with six men and women in the Mauna Loa crater. They were allowed to go outside, though, if they wore spacesuits, because it was a simulation. This is an idea that doesn't die.
It is interesting that, because I know some of the astronauts, in fact, one is related to somebody close to me. Most of them have remained in Houston, even though the program is pretty much dead. Some have left because they want to escape that closed environment.
It also, well, you know them, I don't. But another fascinating thing about the astronauts is they had their time of fame beyond the fame of presidents or rockers or anybody. How do you deal with that? And also the fact that we were all so excited about the space chase with the Russians and so on and the moon landing. Then it becomes rather blasé. And I think the same thing happened with the biosphere.
The story is set in 1994. Did you have to think about how different life was just 20 years ago? There were no smartphones, no Facebook, no Instagram, no Twitter.
Absolutely.
These people couldn't just open up their phones every time they got bored.
Yeah, absolutely. That was part of the fun of this. Also, there's a kind of Big Brother element. Mission Control is always watching. And further, this was a huge tourist attraction in its day. It still is. But in its day, everything you did, it'd be like where we are right now in the studio. Lenny, people are outside the glass with their noses pressed up, watching your every movement.
Unlike Mission Control, all of the crew members have nicknames, but they call the project's mastermind, Jeremiah Reed, GC, short for God the Creator.
And the financier is GF, short for God the Financier.
Does it take a megalomaniacs to create this kind of experiment?
I suppose so, and I wouldn't want to accuse Elon Musk of being one, but he is, you know, doing the same sort of thing. It's very imaginative to think, what are you going to do with your $1 billion? And I don't want to mention politics, Lenny. I'm tired of it, but... To do something that has this kind of chutzpah is pretty wonderful, actually.
Didn't Columbia University buy the original biosphere, too?
They did. And
what
now
did they use it for?
For experiments, because it is enclosed. It's not sealed anymore. It's a tourist site. It's dramatic architecturally. Now it's owned by the University of Arizona, and they conduct tours for tourists like me. And they do have some experiments with crops, and you can control how you water them and so on, and the sunlight coming through the glass.
You've explored a lot of different cultures and communities and eccentrics like the Kelloggs. Do you keep a list of subjects that you want to write about?
To a degree. Each book suggests the next. I mean, at the outset, because you know my work so well over all these years.
Well, we've talked about almost all of them.
We have talked about all of them. I wonder how...
You've done Frank Lloyd Wright. You did Alfred Kinsey.
The Megalomaniacs, yes, of course. Again, I can see how they're all allied in retrospect and what my interests are, but you don't begin knowing this. It just happens, and I'm kind of gratified by it. Which leads us to the next book, which I've already delivered. It's a collection of stories called The Relive Box and Other Stories. And the New Yorker story that will come out next week, Are We Not Men, is my favorite. My new obsession. It's about CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technology and where that will lead us.
Do you think your interests changed at all when you moved from, was it upstate New York to California?
I grew up in Peekskill. I went all the way west. I'd never been west of the Hudson River until I was 25. I went to Iowa to go to the Idle Writers Workshop. Then I wound up in L.A. and now Santa Barbara. So, yes, absolutely. I will always feel slightly a fish out of water. Actually, we have no water out there. It's the fifth year of the drought.
Well, we have a drought here, too, so you'd feel comfortable if you came back home.
Pikers, Lenny. Jesus.
I know. I was just in Southern California, and there are all of these farmers who have signs up saying, you want work? We need to use water for farming. There's a big fight going on there.
But they're using 85% of it, and yet the economy is only 3% of what they're contributing.
Do you work out your ideas through short stories?
No. No, I've never had the experience of taking a novel and shrinking it to a story or vice versa. No, I'm very disciplined, and in each period I sat down to write a longer story or a shorter story.
T.C. Boyle, his latest is a fairly large novel. It runs about 500 pages or so. Mm-hmm.
Most people will read it in half an hour, though. It's so gripping, Lenny.
Well, you do have a wonderful style. The book is called The Terranauts, and it is published by Echo. So it's a pleasure to have you on our show. Thank you
Likewise.
So much for coming by.
You're very welcome.